Holly Kasim found Eddie Sung in the Oregon's gym. Sung was wearing the baggy pants of a martial arts gi, but no shirt. Sweat coursed down his lean flanks as he went through a series of karate moves, grunting with each punch and chop. Eddie noticed the look on Holly's face and ended the routine with a roundhouse kick that would have taken off the head of an NBA center. He grabbed a white towel from a bin next to a universal weight machine and wiped his neck and torso. "I found something else in that Gil Martell recording," Holly said without preamble. "I deciphered the words Golden and Sky. I checked, and the Golden Dawn has a sister ship named Golden Sky. Eric and Murph did some digging. The responsivists are holding one of their sea retreats aboard her as we speak, just like the retreat Yannicka Dahl was on."
"Where is the ship now?" Eddie asked.
"Eastern Mediterranean. She's scheduled to dock in Istanbul this afternoon. Afterward, she heads to Crete." Holly then added before Eddie could answer, "I've already tried to call Juan. He doesn't answer."
With the chairman incommunicado and Max still in the hands of Zelimer Kovac, Eddie was in command of the ship, and any decision would fall on his shoulders.
"Have there been any reports of illness on the ship?"
"Nothing in the news and nothing on the cruise line's internal communications logs."
Holly recognized the hesitation in Eddie's dark eyes.
"If it helps, Linda, Eric, and Mark have all volunteered. They're already packing."
"If the ship is hit with a chemical or biological attack, they'll be at risk as much as anyone else," Eddie reminded.
"This is too much of an opportunity to pass up. If we can get our hands on some of their people, the intelligence will be invaluable."
Holly had put into words the other half of a dangerous equation. Balancing risk versus reward was the most difficult of all military decisions, because lives invariably hung in the balance.
"They can get to shore on the rigid inflatable boat, the jets waiting at Nice. Tiny can file an emergency flight plan, and our people can be in Turkey as the Golden Sky arrives. It isn't likely the responsivists will attack while they're in port, so we can at least sneak aboard and have a look-see. Who do you want to send?"
"Linda and Mark. Eric is a first-rate navigator and researcher, but Mark's weapons background will give him an edge finding a chemical or biological dispersal system."
"You got it."
Zelimer Kovac watched the chopper emerge from the leaden sky. It was a bright yellow dot amid the pewter clouds. He showed no outward sign of his anger. He had been unable to find the escaped American, and that failure rankled. He was not a man prone to make excuses, but that was exactly what he was rehearsing in his head as the helicopter flared over the pad, whipping up storm water that had pooled nearby. Apart from the pilot, another man was with Thomas Severance. Kovac paid him no heed, focusing his entire attention on his superior, a term he meant quite literally. Tom Severance was superior in every way Kovac thought important, and Kovac's loyalty to him and his cause knew no bounds. From that devotion sprang Kovac's self-recrimination, and he hated himself for letting Severance down. Severance threw open the chopper's door, his windbreaker and hair whipping in the maelstrom. He somehow managed to make his movements elegant as he ducked from under the whirling blades. Kovac could not manage to reply to Severance's dazzling smile, a smile he didn't deserve. He glanced away, recognizing the second passenger. Confusion replaced his anger.
"Great to see you, Zelimer," Tom bellowed over the whine of the helicopter's turbine.
He recognized the startled look on his security chief's face and chuckled.
"I bet he's the last person in the world you ever expected to see with me, eh?"
Kovac found his voice without moving his eyes away from Dr. Adam Jenner.
"Yes, sir."
Severance dropped his voice an octave, making his next words a gesture of intimacy and trust.
"It's time you understood everything. Past time."
Jenner approached and touched a gloved hand to the bandage where Kovac had pistol-whipped him back in the Rome Hotel.
"No hard feelings, Mr. Kovac."
10 minutes later,
They were in the underground base's most luxurious suite. It was here that Tom and his wife would wait out the coming chaos. In total, there were facilities here for 200 of the top members of the responsivist organization.